You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $10,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must be.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Jim and Rick Show. We are live right here on KLRN Radio, and I just realized we were able to start on time. It's a miracle for two reasons. Normally, there's people talking in front of us, and usually we have technical issues out the wazoo. We actually got started on time. I don't know how to feel. I'm so confused right now.
Has this ever happened? Is this a thing that ever happened?
Back when we were doing this on a more regular basis, yes. But it's been forever.
Maybe like a little bit.
But
like,
it's been
maybe
forever.
Every now and then.
But it's been forever.
very foreign to me. I don't know how to operate in a space where I'm not like, it's not like rushed and we're on and what's happening and how's it going and everything's working. Oh, knock on wood. Yeah, but this is strange.
Let's take care of that real quick. All right.
Knock on my head, on my desk.
So, how was your trip to the Baseball Hall of Fame? Or College Baseball World Series?
World Series.
That's what I meant. I'll learn to talk in a second. Maybe.
Yeah, it was so awesome. I'm so glad we went. I know, like, it was, I didn't win and all that kind of thing. But at the same time, like, that's way more disappointing. Sounds strange to say, but it's less disappointing when you go in person. There's so much to do. There's so many cool things to see. The energy there is amazing. Like, all of the different groups of fans that are there. Those that are there for teams that are actually, you know, competing, and those that are just there because it's iconic and they're making a trip regardless of if their team isn't, you know, in competition or not. And Omaha's such a unique place, like, this time of year with all of the anybody that's never been there. Like, I know you think of Nebraska, like, similar to Kansas and very like flat and a lot of cornfields and things like that. But A lot of Nebraska is actually like decently like beautiful green rolling hills. Omaha is a very hilly area. So there's all kind of little places where you're looking over and there's a river that flows right next to it, separates it from Iowa right there on the border of Omaha and Council Bluffs, Iowa. So there's a lot of kind of picturesque scenery. And then you've got the College World Series happening. They got a cute little downtown area called Old Market that has all sorts of great little bars and restaurants and shopping and boutiques and like leather stores and all sorts of things. Like, it's like a mashup of kind of like trendy and cowboy and, you know, gastro and then old school, like regular old American, you know, middle of the country kind of vibe. Like, it's just like a mashup of everything, and like everybody blends and everybody gets along. I don't know, it's just so weird. I've gone a lot. But it's been a long time since I've gone, and it was a lot of fun, and it taught my kid a lot of things. He made a lot of memories, and he's developed a relationship with a few of the Texas baseball players, and they're all really great, but there's a couple of them in particular that have kind of taken notice of him. And so we ran into them multiple different places. They came over and hugged him, gave him, you know, we're just like really excited to see him again. They recognized him outside of the baseball stadium, which is awesome. Like, turned around, they're like, hey, there's our buddy Bug, like, which was really awesome. And then just learning about like losing with grace and with, you know, dignity and how that kind of stuff sucks, but like that's what's going to happen, especially if you play sports, and dealing with opposing teams' fans. And there were some really, really shitty ones, and there were some really, really great ones. So all of that was fun. And it was just a great experience. And of course, just like priceless memories. It was me and my dad and my son. And it was just really cool for like the three generations that love baseball, particularly Texas baseball, to be able to share that together and experience all that is Omaha and the College World Series. And we got to go to the zoo, which the Omaha Zoo is one of the best zoos in the world. So that too, we love a zoo. So it was awesome. We had so much fun.
I'm glad to hear you had fun. Yeah, it was kind of, I texted you and you're like, well, you see, we kind of did this thing and I'm driving through the city right now. And I'm like, so wait a minute, you drove right past me and didn't say a word.
I know. And actually, when you texted me, I had literally just driven like through Moore heading into Oklahoma City. I am like directly driving straight up through your part of the woods.
Yeah, no,
actually, but we were trying to get to Wichita. What?
You passed me. I'm 10 miles south of Norman, so you'd already passed me by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, when I had done, I was like, we've been on this road. I mean, we were just driving 35 straight up, but we were trying to get to Wichita to take a nap before driving the next day to the rest of the 4 hours to Omaha. But anybody that like has been around my family for a long enough time will know that like we do shit like this. We're like, you know what would be cool? You know what? It's only a 12-hour drive to check for hotels. Okay, what can we do? You know what? Actually, like, there's not a hotel on Thursday night, but you know where there is a hotel in Wichita, Kansas. All right, you got it. You're on Hotwire. Okay, cool. Okay, what? Okay, we need to do this. Okay, are we getting? Do you have an oil change on the car? All right, cool. Okay, we're leaving in T-minus six. Let's go. Like, we will just do shit like this. Like, we hop in a car and drive to Colorado. We hop in a car and drive to Omaha. I know everybody thought insane with gas prices, but I promise you, we looked at flights and they were even more outrageous. So that hasn't quite equated. And we kept it. Thankfully, that whole route is still under $5 a gallon, mostly in the $4.50 and $4.60 range almost the entire way. So it sucks. That's still big. But we were also driving a car that got really good gas mileage. So that helped a lot on the highway miles. And it still way beat the 1600 miles there and back. Still way beat the like $2,500 plane tickets. So, cause that's what it was in such high demand. See, there were such big universities in the College World Series this year. A lot of times here is kind of sprinkled throughout. It's not quite as big of like all of these like big iconic schools with the big athletic programs that have like fan bases that all travel really well. And, you know, Oklahoma's going to the finals against Ole Miss on Saturday. And so normally you kind of have some other kind of smaller universities and things that go, and it's just not the same kind of intensity and high demand. And you had some schools that went that haven't been in a really long time, like A&M. And so it's like everybody's going. Everybody wants to do this. Everybody wants to be there. I'm sorry, they've been in the last like 10 years, but they haven't won a game in a really long time in the College World Series. So that was a big deal. And they thought this team could do it, and they were right. They got decently far. So they bought up everything. They bought up all the hotels. They bought up all the flights, and everything got driven through the roof. But we were still able to make it work. It just wasn't going to be by flying. And honestly, it might have taken us longer anyway. So kind of glad we just got in the car and drove, and we were in control of our own destiny. So I always like that.
Yeah, I can honestly say last-minute flying is not anything like what it used to be, because I had to go out of town for a wedding this weekend and was late back to work because of a flight delay and a mechanical. I wound up renting a car and didn't get back into town until almost 11 from my last layover spot, which was in Kansas. Because there was a crew issue, so they put us up in a hotel for Sunday night. And then on Monday morning, I was supposed to fly out at like 5:30 in the morning. And then there was a mechanical issue. And they're like, flight's not going to be here till like 11. And I'm like, I'm just going to rent a car. So,
yeah,
it took me a little while to find a car. I drove from there to here and parked it at the place in Norman, and then took an Uber the rest of the way home because I couldn't get to my car.
Yeah,
so, yeah, fun times.
I have definitely been there, and I've definitely been on planes where I've gone, okay, the idea of this was, you know, to make this like less hassle and shorter and all of that. And then when it comes down to it, I could have just driven in the same amount of time, been more comfortable, gotten to pack whatever I wanted to in my bag instead of all the bullshit TSA stuff, and not have to deal with all these other people. I'd be alone in my car listening to whatever freaking music I want or podcasts or whatever, going pee when I want in a bathroom that doesn't already stink, and like whatever I want to do. So sometimes there have been those times where I've been like, oh shit, I just should have driven instead of trying to do this plane flight. But that isn't always the good option.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, I'm glad you guys had fun. I'm actually considering going to visit a friend in August in Ohio, and I think I'm just going to drive after my last flying experience.
I wanted to say one thing that kind of relates back to, like, the politics, you know, which is a lot of what you and I talk about, is that one thing I love about baseball, sports in general on the collegiate level and on the lower levels, I'm not talking about pro sports. They can all get bent with all of their, you know, they've all bent the knee to corporate bullshit and political bullshit. But I'm talking about like still like pretty well on the collegiate level and below. You know, we're there. There's all this stuff going on. The hearings are happening. You know, all of these things are happening that, you know, other people in the world are freaking out about. And even when I would like check Twitter, I go, oh, I don't even want to talk about it. Because it was such a mix of folks from all over the country, and no one gave a shit about any of that there. Everybody was just having a good time. It's like red-blooded American good fun. And like, and we all, like I said, everybody comes, there's, you know, Stanford's from California. There are people from the East Coast. There's people from all across the South. And it didn't feel weird to be right in the middle of it all with everybody and just enjoying something so good, so fun, and absolutely like supporting these kids who have worked their asses off to get there. And be able to do so and like hang out with people in a bar or at a restaurant that are from complete rivals of yours or whatever else, and have a pretty good time. And no one's talking about politics. No one asks who you vote for or if you followed this or if you like that or did you like Trump? Well, then fuck you. Like, none of that happens. None of it. And it's so nice to get away from that political like bubble that you even kind of find, you know, in your own circles or like maybe certain towns and places. Like, I know Austin's really liberal, so we kind of hear a lot of it. So it was just really awesome. Like, this was just people being people in the real world, not having any of that involved, which was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed even in, you know, some of like the DM groups and stuff that we've built over the years that are supposed to be safe spaces, I'm starting to feel like I'm in the middle of a, you know, Sharks and Jets fight sometimes. Just like, what is going on right now?
I know. It's so true. Like, there's a couple where I'm like, oh man, they're going at it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And it's a lot of doomsday and it's a lot, you know, and you know, you and I both, like, we are politicos, like, in the grossest sense. Like, we have like been obsessed with this kind of shit for a long time and like for good reason. But at some point, sometimes some of these people get so down on everything. It's like, nothing will work. Nothing will help. Fuck this. Fuck that. And I'm like, okay, then why are we even talking about it? Like, why are we even here? So it's nice to reset and get, like, just the feeling of, like, you know, good old America. That's what America's favorite pastime, baseball, is just heart of America. And it was just great to have that reset.
Oh, trust me, with where I work, they were talking about it all, like every 5 minutes. Oh, this just happened, and this just happened, and this just happened. And I'm like, okay. I have a friend who's there. I'm happy about that. But yeah, anyway, no. But yeah, I mean, it's like you said, I am a political animal by nature. But the thing about it is, with everything that happened between 2020 and 2022, I almost had to completely disconnect from it all because with this going as crazy as I was from everything else going sideways, I couldn't handle anything else going sideways. And watching Biden run the country into the ground was just more than I could handle at that point. And it just kind of became a thing. And now I'm trying to get more engaged, and I'm trying to start doing the things that I used to do, but it's like everywhere I turn around, everybody's like, oh, we're done, it's over. And sometimes even I feel that way, and I'm like, I can't keep doing this way. I mean, there has to be a reason to get up and fight every day, or what the hell am I fighting for?
Exactly. And yeah, so I have a hard time. I know it feels like everything sucks and it's so shitty, and like, especially with actual shitty things like inflation, gas prices, all of these things. But I just have to like remind myself that, you know, whenever I start to get really, really bogged down with all of it, that there were periods of time, there have been a lot of periods of time over the last 15, 20 years where it was like, that's it, we're done, America's over. We screwed this entire experiment up. We're totally fucked. It can never be okay again. And then something different happens, and suddenly you have Donald Trump as president, which no one ever thought after an Obama election. After Obama got elected, it was like, sold to the Democrats forever. Nothing's ever changing. There will never be another Republican president. We're totally screwed. Everything's done. And then you get what we got. Like, I mean, so I just have to remind myself that there's an ebb and flow to all of this. Yes, things don't look great. Yes, they are pretty dire. I have no idea how we can have another fair election, how we can win another election, but who the fuck knows? So we'll see. So I'm going to keep pressing on with what I believe in and what I support and what I think is important to me, because I've still got a kid to raise and I don't want to completely lose hope, and I don't want to completely give up.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, because, yeah, my kids are all adults, but now I have grandkids popping out right and left. I have another one due in, like, 3 months. I'm up to, like, almost a football team at this point.
Ooh, fun!
After this one, I literally have enough grandkids that we could do, like, Iron Man football.
Yes! That's so fun. We always did family football, like Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff. So you actually like field a real team. We have to like have people play on both sides.
Oh, but yeah, no, I have right now, which the irony is, both of what are about to be my youngest grandchildren are both going to be girls, because Gracie's my youngest granddaughter right now. I just found out my oldest son is about to have his first daughter after having two boys. So yeah, things are looking up.
Very, very cool.
And I don't know if I've shared this with everybody, but I've shared pretty much every other aspect of the breakup, the divorce, and everything else. The Shrew is engaged already again, in case you didn't know and wanted to know. Yeah, seriously, they're getting married. Yeah, fun time.
Oh my gosh. To that guy?
Yeah, same one. I wasn't sure if I should say congratulations or condolences, so I just, when I found out, I just looked at him and I said, I heard congratulations are in order, and turned around and walked out the back door.
Are in order. Doesn't mean I'm giving them. I just heard that's what it is.
Pretty much.
I actually love that phrase, because it does get you out of actually saying it. You're like, I hear they are. So, cool. And then they feel like you congratulated them, but you can be like, ha-ha, no, I did not.
Oh, dude, yeah, I found out at another family function that apparently it happened, like, the weekend before, and I'm like, oh, sweet, nice, so.
Oh, my gosh, how gross.
Yeah, so, yeah, it took, we were together forever before she would even agree to marry me, and they've barely been together, well, anyway. I don't know how long they've actually been together, if I'm gonna be honest, but they've been out for a little over a year.
Right. All your internet sisters, we've been, you know, we were sleuthing during all that time, and we're going, nah, this doesn't add up. She's totally been, yeah. You know, yeah, so you don't know. Have no idea.
Pretty much, but anyway. So, yeah, so.
But, whatever, it's done. You're better off.
Yeah, I actually, okay. So, the interesting thing is she actually unfriended me on Facebook, like, quite some time ago. And then last night I finally gave up and blocked her, because my oldest son married his best friend a couple of weeks ago, and so they've, you know, been doing the whole mushy thing back and forth on Facebook. So she posted something and said how she loves the fact that he never lets her go a day without letting her know how beautiful he thinks he is and everything else. And then, and I don't know if she put it there because she knew I would see it, or if it was just my bad luck to catch it. But yeah, she posts on there, yeah, I've grown to realize just how important that is. I was like, you know what, I'm done. Because there was not a day we were together that I didn't tell you that and show you that. So I just hit the block button, because I was like, that got way under my skin, way too easy. I don't want to see shit from you anymore. I'm done.
Right.
I'm done.
So that's the thing, too, especially when it's stuff that's like, it's not even just like, it's just stuff that seems to be like a slap in your face when it's totally unfair and not, and untrue. So that's just crappy. Better to just be done. Be rid.
And
rid of it in other ways. Be rid of it on social media, too.
Well, the irony for me and the thing that kept running through my head is I'm like, okay, so he's showing and telling his wife how beautiful she is and how much he loves her. Where the hell do you think he learned that from? I raised him since he was five. Where do you think he saw that? Just saying.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Saying.
Exactly. Well, I there's not really been anything happening, you know. It's been very quiet on the Western front.
Absolutely nothing. It was like slow news day, like forever. Why are we even doing political radio anymore? There's absolutely nothing political happening ever. Yeah, I wish. Kind of.
There's definitely not any liberal meltdowns happening today. That's totally not a thing. But alas, yes, there are, and they have been glorious.
Sorry,
the way in which that they have freaked out over this SCOTUS ruling is just I just can't stop reading all of their histrionics.
It's crazy. Anyway, I have to back up for just a second because I just caught this. Sharon and Mike are both like, "We'll crash the wedding and drop for Albert."
I'm dying over. What?
Yeah, look at the chat. When I mentioned that they were getting married, two of the people in chat was like, "We'll crash the wedding and drop trial, bro."
That's trial. That's good. That is good. That's funny.
Oh boy. I love you guys. Anyway, so back to the political portion of the show, because yeah, it's not like there's a shortage of anything to talk about. I heard the president say that the Supreme Court violated the Constitution today. I was like, how is that even, how, what, huh? Is that a thing? Especially when all they do is reaffirm New Yorkers' rights to bear arms. Pretty sure they reinforced the Constitution, not violated it. Just saying.
Well, yeah, no, but see, we've been told, right, that like the court was packed by Trump. Because words don't no longer have meaning. So, you know, the court was packed. And so actually what happened today was completely biased. And also, I don't know if you remember this, but you got to dig way back into civics, you know, the civics that don't exist because this is what people think. You've got to dig way back and remember that, see, the Supreme Court is bad right now. Because they're supposed to serve the will of the people and they're supposed to represent the people. And the majority of people don't agree with some of the things they think. So that some poll showed them that some people didn't agree with this. And so therefore, SCOTUS needs to be abolished or they need to be defied. So the states can just go ahead and defy them because they're rogue right now and they're not doing their job, which is to represent the people, you see. Didn't you remember that from civics?
Yeah, you know, I remember that. I think that was in the coloring book version of the civics class.
Yeah. So that needs to be represented. Also, the president should just make laws, and senators should. Oh, what was that thing that they didn't do, or that they did to allow Trump to pack the court? Oh, the filibuster thing. Oh, yeah. So it's totally not the Dems' fault that all of these nominees have happened. But my favorite of all. Though, in all seriousness, no, this is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant fucking tweet, which is hilarious. So it says, you know, the DOJ releases a statement that they respectfully disagree with the Supreme Court's ruling on New York gun law, which is ridiculous. The DOJ is not supposed to do any of this shit at all. They're not supposed to comment politically. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. But okay, let's put that aside. So the Department of Justice remains committed to saving innocent lives by enforcing and defending federal firearms laws. Okay, so New York's, get bent. Who cares? But Carrie Severino says, Merrick Garland apparently dissents from today's decision. Thankfully, he does so from the DOJ and not the Supreme Court. And I thought that was absolutely amazing. Here is his dissenting opinion. He couldn't write because he's not on the court, so he had to do it from the DOJ because he's still living that, you know, wannabe SCOTUS pipe dream.
Yeah, here's your dissenting opinion that has absolutely no bearing because you're part of the fucking DOJ. Sit down and have all the seats.
Yeah, I just thought it was great that she's like, yeah. Like, but seriously, you know, is the DOJ advocating nullification or just trying to scaremonger by implying that federal gun laws are impacted by today's decision? It's an odd statement from an increasingly political agency, which should be anything but. And she's absolutely right. But and this is what always happens, right, is they can't help themselves. They come out of the woodwork and they represent government agencies that are not supposed to be partisan and make extremely partisan statements. So, but, you know, the real concern is that democracy is on the brink because some people walk through the Capitol. So, cool.
99% of which stayed within the velvet ropes and only went in after they were invited in.
Right. But that put democracy on the brink. But abolishing, dismantling, whatever you want to call it, the Supreme Court, because they're throwing temper tantrums that they are not representing the people instead of, oh, I don't know, interpreting the fucking Constitution they were sworn to defend. Then they that does not threaten democracy. No, that does not threaten America or our republic. All these other silly, nitpicky bullshit things do, but actual dismantlement of our establishment as laid out by the founders through, I mean, so many arguments and so many well thought out reasonings, that is going to be perfectly fine and will not undermine anything. It will definitely not undermine the minority in this country, but sure.
Well, so in case you didn't know, for once the Veep and POTUS are on the same page, because both Biden and Harris have come out and said that the SCOTUS ruling on 2A defies the Constitution. So they actually
defies the Constitution, which is just fucking incredible that they even have the gall to say that. Yeah. It's one thing to say we don't agree with it and we think there should be greater restrictions. It's another thing to say that it defies the Constitution, which it is for even the most someone with the most basic of education that is being honest, intellectually honest is key here, would know that that's blatantly untrue. There are other arguments to be made, but that ain't it.
So yeah, well, another lib meltdown today, which was absolutely glorious, was from Keith Olbermann.
Oh man, he was hilarious, wasn't he?
The SCOTUS ruling demands the court be dissolved. We shouldn't even pay attention to what they say anymore. I'm like, okay, so from now on, when they come out with a ruling I don't like, I'm just going to ignore it. And that's not cool, because Overbite said so.
No. I mean, yeah, no, and he seriously, went through, when you read how many, blue checks and former people that have, supposed verified bios that include things like legal scholar and analyst and things like that, retweeting or liking it or commenting on it, well, at this point, in all seriousness, this should be a consideration. I mean, it just makes you want to, it's absolutely hilarious because they're basically admitting that they're completely partisan on how they view the law at all, and they just want to throw a temper tantrum anytime they don't get their fucking way, which is what liberals always do. They cannot stand dissent. They cannot stand anything to be outside of what their worldview is and how they want it, when they want it, and why they want it, and stamp their feet and scream, I want it now! And if they don't get it now, then everybody, it's their turn to race around the room, pointing and calling out the faults of anybody and everybody else and telling them that they're all pieces of shit and that the reason why that they're going to do this anyways is because it's the right way and that they will not tolerate anything else. So disband this and band that and do this and do that and then go, you're the fucking fascist. Okay, dude. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all crazy.
SCOTUS, yeah, pre-Baraha, former the U.S. attorney. He was, one of the Obamaites. SCOTUS read neither the room nor the Constitution correctly. And I'm like, first of all, it's not their job to read the room, motherfucker. But I also said, your room, maybe, but I don't care to look at that. I don't want to see your room, dude. Screw you. But not reading the Constitution correctly is just absolutely laughable for anybody with, the smallest intellectual honesty. But they know that. And they know they can get away from, they know that they can get away with it.
And that's just the thing. You hit the nail on the head. They know that most people in this country don't honestly understand how our government was designed to work in the first place. There are three separate branches of government for a very specific reason. The Supreme Court's only job is to make sure that the Constitution is upheld with the laws that are passed through the legislature and signed by the president. That's their only job. How the bicameral House was supposed to work is the actual House of Representatives represents the people. That's why it was called the House of Representatives, because that's the part that represents the populace of the state.
Yeah, right, literally nobody else does. Literally no one else.
And then the
gesture representatives.
And then the Senate was supposed to represent the state until we got this stupid thing called the 17th Amendment that fucked everything up. Because, so now the states are really the ones that are being cheated now because they have zero representation in the federal government now. None.
Yeah, I like and still like they do, but it's just because of how it works out, not because it's actually working the way it's intended. Like for the most part, Texas does get, you know, represented by two Republican senators, which does reflect the Republican state. But that's just how it's, you know, fallen into place, not because of the guaranteed protection that it represents the states, like you were saying before. I love that there were all kinds of, you know, meltdowns, like you said. But one of my favorites about this is that they really freaked out in trying to push the whole, this is white supremacy. You know, this is white privilege. This is trying to protect white people and then also to keep down minorities. And that, you know, they brought out that old trope about how, you know, if black people started owning guns, Republicans would change their support of the Second Amendment. And once again, we all said, bring it on. How can I help you get one? Like, how can I support black gun ownership? Because we do. We absolutely do. But they, you know, couldn't help but show their racism, right? Because they can't, they have to push that narrative. And half of them started pointing all that out when they didn't even realize who wrote the majority of opinion. Clarence Thomas. Of course, I know they don't consider him a brother. Not truly. Because they call him an Uncle Tom, which is always the wrong term to use, but still they call him the Uncle Tom. And so a lot of them failed to even notice that he was the one that wrote the majority opinion. And so immediately deleted tweets because they were saying all these things about white people. And they're like, oh, have you looked at the author of the opinion? Because it is, in fact, Justice Clarence Thomas, a black man, who actually like points out, like he points out why this is actually important for minorities, how this helps minorities. That is a part of the majority opinion. I love what Charles W. Cook said. He said, so Ron Perlman, we all know he's an idiot, said the latest Supreme Court decision on firearms neglects to say the one thing that they actually meant to say, for whites only. So he deleted that tweet. But I caught it before that. But Charlie Cook says, wait until Ron finds out why most of those May issue laws were passed in the first place. They did have a racist history. Says it underscores my point yesterday about progressives just saying the same thing, whatever happens. A descendant of slaves who grew up under segregation writes the majority opinion in a Second and 14th Amendment case that overturns many historically racist rules. And they're all crying whites only. It's a remarkable moment in American history. Taney says in Dred Scott, you know, if black people are citizens, they'll be able to carry guns. Eek! And 140 years later, a descendant of slaves says, you're damn fucking straight we will, motherfuckers. Like, it's an amazing commentary that they just all were so blind to. You know, because they had to go on what they wanted. They wanted it to be what they previously decided to frame it as when this was formed. And they completely ignore the fact, they always disrespect him, but they completely ignore the fact that this is indeed a proven descendant of slaves who's worked himself up to the highest court in the land and is writing about exactly why striking down this New York gun law is a win for minorities and is a win against racial discrimination and prejudice. Incredible. And they dismiss it out of hand because scratch a liberal, find a racist. Every fucking time.
Pretty much. That's the whole thing. Is they're like, they're not even closeted racist anymore. That's the scariest part. They're just straight up like.
Well, today. Oh my gosh, them going after Tim Scott. I mean, Tim Scott has spent his career surrounded by white people who think the Confederate flag is just dandy, and he's kept his career by smiling for them. Our friend Savvy Unleashed on Twitter, if you don't know him, you probably actually do, so go look up his go look up his handle at Savvy Unleashed. He had a great response. He said the racism required to say a black man who believes in conservative principles must be putting on some kind of minstrel show is both unoriginal and abhorrent. Strike a blow for freedom of thought and civil discourse and delete this tweet. And he's so right, like, putting on some kind of minstrel show, that's exactly what they're saying and that's exactly what they mean. And they are absolutely being racist because you don't agree with me. Because that black man won't believe what I want him to believe and how I want black people to vote. Therefore, I must diminish him. Therefore, I must claim that he is no better than some wannabe do-gooder slave just trying to, you know, suck the dick of a white guy. I mean, it's outrageous. Sorry, I'm mad about it.
Yeah, you hadn't noticed.
It makes me so angry. Like, how dare they? And then they go, oh, no, you're still racist. So it's like, oh, my gosh, y'all are just absolutely fucking insane. Lack of self-awareness is incredible, but, you know, they don't have to because they get a pass in every fucking area that matters. They get a pass in academia. They get a pass in media. They get a pass in government. They get a pass in almost every major, you know, public sphere. They not only get a fast pass, they get defended and they get encouraged. And so they know they can be racist assholes because their kind of racism is okay.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. Their kind of racism, as far as they're concerned, isn't even racist anymore. It's just how things are.
Right. And there's no such thing as being racist against someone who they think is serving oppressors or, who is doing so out of some sort of self-hatred coupled with self-promotion. So, you know, Tim Scott, he hates himself because he sides with his oppressors, but he sides with the oppressors so that he can get ahead. So therefore, he's also corporate evil kind of shit, you know? So it's all of these things wrapped into it. But mostly, he's just, you know, to them, he's just a dumb black guy that won't do what they want him to do. And it's disgusting.
It's all craziness, if you ask me.
So, anyways, that's that. Now, you've been keeping up a little bit more with the hearings. I have not. I've basically tuned them out. That's so ridiculous to me, so much of what's going on. And I saw some of the crocodile tears a few times to the point where I was just like, gag me. Like, this isn't even good theater. I mean, it's theater, all right, but it ain't good.
It's not necessarily that I've been purposely keeping up with them since I've been working from home. I usually try to have one of the news channels or something on during the day, so at least when it's quiet in the house, it sounds like people are talking around me. And of course, because I don't really want to give CNN or anybody else any ratings, I normally have Fox News on during the day, and for some reason, lately, they've been running the hearings after about noon. And so I come out today on my lunch break and see that that's on and watched about 5 minutes of it before I just had to give up and change the channel because we're hearing about all of Donald Trump's plans to replace the person that was attorney general because he wanted somebody that would basically just unseal the election and turn it all over and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, I don't fucking care. It didn't happen. But the thing about it is, the thing that I really wish that they would talk about is there may not have been enough irregularities to completely stop the election, but there are enough irregularities that we should be concerned about integrity of our elections going forward. Because there are four or five states at this point that are seeing shit and just going, this isn't cool. I mean, your state just basically passed a proclamation that said they declared the 2020 election illegal.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something they would have done.
I just think... Right. And this always goes back to, though, like, when it's acceptable to question elections and when it's not. In this case, it's, like, treasonous, but, you know, that's Stacey Abrams is just famous for that, and that alone is claiming an election was stolen from her. So that was supported, and it's still supported. I still claim that, you know, Bush stole the election from Gore, or the Supreme Court stole it on his behalf, of course, but stole the election from Gore. I mean, it's just gone on and on and on and on. But so that's part of what gets me about this. There's so much talk about the about whether it's okay or not for anybody, whether they be public or private, to question election integrity. And it just gets so old because it's such bullshit and they're such hypocrites because they've all done it. And I don't think that it is conspiratorial or outrageous or unreasonable at all to say that we absolutely have had fraud and we absolutely have had issues in this country and they have not been sorted. And in fact, they're only, as technology develops more and more, they are only going to get worse as we are relying on these technologies and also at the hands of, you know, people in power tend to be corrupt. We all know the saying, right? So you're having these things in the hands of a lot of corrupt human beings who are sinful and who are power grabbing. And that is naturally going to be a result, probably not to an extent that it can take over an entire national election, but to an extent that it can make a big fucking difference in a lot of places. So to say that there's no possibility that's ever happening ever, whether a Republican or a Democrat wins, is just silly to me. It just seems absolutely illogical to not to say that that's ridiculous. Well, that's just my opinion. So I get annoyed anyways with when it gets brought up at all. There's reasons why they're giving all these and then the Lib and the Democrats just go crazy and the media goes crazy about how, like, how dare you speak this, like, not saying Voldemort, like, you can never ever ever do this. And it's like, you literally have built entire political careers on the fact that they think elections were stolen. But okay,
Hillary Clinton, for
he's
one,
wears me out.
Dissent was patriotic when it was Hillary. Just saying.
Every time they have dissented, it's been good. Every time they have accused of any of these things, it's been good. Well, don't you want the truth? If you don't want the truth, if you're not afraid, you know, if you think it's fine and good, then why are you afraid of the truth? You shouldn't be afraid of the truth. If you're so sure that your guy won, why are you afraid? Why do you think it matters? You know, it's just all this gaslighting bullshit that they do over and over and over. It's always whatever's good for them. We know that.
There's a reason.
I mean, really, that's politics in general. That's politics in general, right? On any side. It's like, whatever's good for me when it's good for me.
There's a reason Stacey and I have that's started a show called Whatever. Just saying. Anyway.
Whatever.
But, no, I mean, seriously. You know, if we can just be serious about this for 1 second. Look, I get that, you know, during the 2020 election, everybody thought the world was ending, so they made all these special proclamations, and they did all these things to try to make sure that we could still have an election, and this, that, and the other. But the simple fact of the matter is, we found that some of the things that these states have decided to do in the guise of election integrity actually violate their state's constitution. This is bad.
Right.
This is bad.
And people should want to know this. Like, they should absolutely want to know these things. If you just want to bury your head in the sand, then, I mean, I guess that's what you want to do. But I think because it's like we talk about with everything else, like, at some point, even if it goes your way right now, at some point, it's not going to anymore. You know, we told Schumer that with it, and Harry Reid that with the filibuster, right? At some point, you're not going to like this. And sure enough, here we are. That's always the issue with these kinds of things. And they just can't see the forest for the trees. So it doesn't matter to them because it matters what they want right now. Like I said before, they throw their temper tantrums. I want it now. I want it my way. Nothing else matters.
This isn't Burger King, you bastards. Oh, sorry, that's not their slogan anymore. I still remember.
No. Ma'am, this is not a Wendy's. Excuse me. Oh, man. But, yeah. I've I've mostly opted out of the hearing stuff, and also because I was gone, you know, for a lot of it, and it's
to be fair, pretty much everybody's opted out of it. They made this big deal about the prime time, I guess, for the first couple episodes or whatever that they were gonna do, and the first one only had like 50 million people watching. The next one was down to half that, and I haven't even seen the numbers for the other ones.
Well, and then everybody got really mad because NBC, well, not everyone, but the diehards got mad because NBC switched to the U.S. Open last weekend, and so they stopped carrying it to carry, their paid partners, major event.
Yeah, which I'm pretty sure would have cost them a fortune had they not.
Paid partners with, international gobs and gobs of advertising money. Like, you've got to be kidding me. And they're like, oh, it's such a disappointment. I'll never watch NBC again. I'm even turning off MSNBC. How dare they? Their integrity is in the shithole. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Nobody y'all, chill MSNBC out. Like, they had... I'm sorry. And what was funny was all the people being like, hey, I've never cared for golf before. I don't even find it interesting, but I'm going to watch it. It's far better than the hearings.
Oh, that honestly, if I would have known they had changed over to golf, I would have put my TV on there just in case it picked up the ratings.
Oh my gosh, right? Anyway, it's just so funny.
Just look at the ratings, like, pre-golf Lord. And post-golf and go, holy shit, golf beat us. We should quit now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all literally a congressional kabuki theater. It's just stupid. It's like this whole thing of this big whole espionage and how Donald Trump tried to destroy democracy because he wanted to overturn the election. And I'm just thinking, most of us that were watching this happen live all had the same question. What the fuck is going on? Because this has never happened before, and are we ever going to find out? That's the only question I've asked since that night 2020 is like, are we ever going to know the truth of why the hell all these people suddenly stopped counting? That's all I really want to know.
Yeah.
Because that's never happened
all
before.
All the weird rules and norms. Yeah, all the weird new rules and the norms that were interrupted and everything like that. Like, it's bizarre.
I mean, at this point, we might as well...
Oh, I don't know. We've never stopped counting in Georgia before, but suddenly we stopped counting and took a break for 8 hours. Okay.
I mean, I've been covering elections now for over a decade. I don't remember anybody ever stopping in the middle of a count. I could be misremembering one or two, but not like six places all going, yeah, we're taking our toys and going home because we're not sure.
Also, I found it interesting, you know, with all of that you had states up the middle and even very large states like Texas, that their polls... they are an hour behind the East Coast as far as when polls close and everything, and they're an hour behind, and they not only continued counting, but were done before all these other ones were, even before they paused their counting. Like, how? What is going on? Why is it such a shit show in some places and not in others? But, I mean, I have answers for some of that, but it gets way too bogged down than what we have for the last few minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, just to finish the thought here, because these aren't the only places where weird things have happened. In Wisconsin, Facebook took over the polling, or the polling places. There were people that worked inside Facebook that were running the shit, and I'm like, what? I didn't hear about this until, like, almost a year later. What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just like,
you can't...
Very weird stuff.
You can't tell me that's not shady shit when you have a group that's like 99% Democrat that's running the polling places.
Well, and also just the weird things like, systems that have been tested over the course of 5 years and summarily rejected by other states. And they're like, yeah, no, it's cool for us. And we just implemented it within 6 months in 2020. Cool, let's go. Like, that kind of crap. Like,
cool
what
like
is
that.
Happening? All of a sudden, we decided to totally change it right before this election, and we went with a brand new company that we haven't tested with our voting methods before. But yeah, we're good to go.
Now, I will admit, there have been some outlandish theories that I've heard from this hearing. The one that was prevalent today and kept being brought up was apparently that there was a theory that somebody from the Italian embassy was using a satellite to change votes away from Trump. I was like, that seems a little Dr. Evil-ish to me, but who the hell knows? I don't know, it's all weird. I mean, I think there were enough irregularities in that election that if they would have just focused on that instead of all the outlandish shit, we probably could have still proven the point, because...
I am still confused why, though, that if Putin and Trump were such, you know, big gay lovers, why did Putin interfere to help him win in 2016? And he was so pleased with the pro-Putin Trump, you know, agenda, supposedly, his, you know, relationship and all the benefits he was reaping from it. Why did he suddenly decide to not do so in 2020? That's never been explained to me. I can't get anyone to tell me why that would be the case.
That's a very good question, because if he was able to do it in 2016...
Right. Well, it was so plain that he did, right? According to Hillary, it's very obvious that Russia interfered and basically over... You know, they interfered and basically propelled the election for a Donald Trump win, and they did so pretty easily and handily. Why did they suddenly go, oh, you know what? This was so great with this guy that he's such my buddy, and he's gonna like let me do all the things. And but you know, gosh, maybe I'll go with this other guy who they, you know, he's got banana pudding for brains, so that'd actually be pretty good. Except for his party's batshit crazy, they absolutely will try to, you know, drop a hammer on me. So you know, according to what they say, I'm not saying that's what they actually do, but Dems are hard on Russia, you know. So. You know, why would he then be like, yeah, but it's cool, I'll let them in office? That lack of reasoning and explanation has never made sense to me.
Well, now flip this the other way, though, because according to the left, the election was hijacked in 2016, but it was absolutely impossible that it could have been hijacked in 2020.
Oh, yeah, no, not at all.
So, you know...
They just got that Russian interference under control or something.
Yeah, they fixed all the bugs in 4 years. Mm-hmm. What they really did was figure out how they were going to be able to cook the books, because that's exactly what they did. I don't care who says what to me about what. There's no way that this tapioca for brains president could go from supposedly the most popular president ever with the most votes ever in U.S. history to a approval rating that is below water in less than a year and has been going down ever since. There's no way. But anyway, we are officially at the top of the hour again. Any final thoughts?
No. I'm just gonna sit back and enjoy more of the tears, because it's hilarious.
Liberal tears are delicious. Anyway.
I mean, they were today, and they'll continue to be with this Supreme Court, I feel. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the Supreme Court to come out and overturn their leaked document and decide that abortion is a good thing. Because that'll be fun if that happens. The mental gymnastics they will go through to be 1 minute, the court needs to be abolished, and the next minute, oh my god, the Supreme Court is amazing! Because, yeah, I have no...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I have no belief that the court has the stones to stand up to the shit they've gone through since that was documented or released in February. I'm pretty sure that, even if that was their original decision,
I don't either, but... Like you said, it'll be interesting to see how suddenly it'll be like, you know, well, okay, well, I guess they're good this time. Okay.
Just because they got it right, you know, this time doesn't mean they weren't wrong the other day. That'll be what comes out everywhere. All right, folks, we are going to get out of here.
Right.
I have work tomorrow and have a few things I have to get wrapped up. So we will see you guys tomorrow night. It'll be, I believe, West Coast BS. West Coast BS at 10 Eastern, Ordy and I at 11 Eastern. We are going to be talking Mandela Effect again on Juxtaposition. We figured it was about time to do one of those again, because it's been a bit. We're out of here, ladies and gents. Talk soon.